Number 9.
This is Living the RV Dream with Traveling Robert, episode number 9 for May 19th, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV.
My RV.
Wherever I want to be. Guess I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, and welcome to another edition of the RV Lifestyle Podcast, Living the RV Dream. I am your host, Robert Morales, like every week, wandering the roads of South Florida, one weekend at a time. For now. Well, we've been at it for 2 months now, 2 whole months doing the podcast, and I think I'm starting to find my bearings, my own voice here, and what I really like to talk about, it's road trips, destinations, but basically the same thing that I've been doing with my videos for many years now. I mean, we'll still have how-to episodes and safety episodes and news whenever they happen, and I'm working on some interviews in the near future, but... What I'd like to talk about is destinations and tell you about different places we all can visit with or without our RVs. By the way, last weekend we were at the Florida Keys once again. We stayed at the Sugarloaf KOA, which claims, I mean, they are the southernmost KOA campground. And I noticed that there's a big difference between the high season and the low season here in Florida. The last time we were there, it was still high season, and it was very lively, the campground. They had a live band by the Tiki Bar. And this time, it was kind of lonely. Everything. The tiki bar was not fun at all. The pool is. It was the whole campground was more than halfway empty or half full, depending on how your glass is. And there was a bit of construction. You know, like they were renovating. They were taking advantage of this downtime to renovate the campground. And it was some of it was really positive because like all the facilities, like the sewer dump at the site, was brand new. And you know these the new ones that have the threads that in Florida supposedly by law you have to have those with the thread, and it's so new that the thread actually worked. Most of the time that thread is already stripped or full of dirt and you cannot screw your sewer hose. But anyways, we had a great time in the Lower Keys. We did some kayaking. We drove down to Key West, which is only like 20 minutes away, and we did a sunset cruise that we hadn't done yet, and we did it with this company called Seabago. By the way, they are not paying me for advertising them or anything like that, but it was a great cruise. It was like almost $40 after taxes, but you know, it was 2 hours, and they had open bar with unlimited beer and champagne and wine and sangria. It was really cool. And even though there were some clouds in the horizon and we didn't really get to see the sunset, I don't think anybody really mind at that point because everybody was, pretty hammered at that point. Anyways, those of you who follow me on YouTube may have noticed that I haven't really put any new videos for the past 2 weeks. I mean, unless you count the live video that I did on Friday late afternoon from the Sugarloaf KOA. You know, I've been busy, what can I say? But I have something very special for you guys this Friday at noon, if I ever get to finish it, but I think I am going to be able to. I'm finally going to release the video of the John Pennekamp State Park. We went snorkeling, kayaking, and it's a great park in general. I was pleasantly surprised, except for the campground, maybe. You know, it's the Florida Keys, so the sites are a little tight, but that's to be expected from the Keys, where land is at a premium. And the trails were kind of lame, and the mosquitoes ate us alive, but other than that, we had a great time. Also, I just got a new, everybody calls it a toy, I like to call it a tool, but I got a new drone, which really enhances the videos that I do on YouTube. And I got the Mavic, which is the newest, the most compact one that DJI makes. I'm going to make a review of it on YouTube soon. But anyways, as I said before, I think I'm going to focus a lot on destinations in the podcast. as we go forward. And today I want to talk about a trip that we did in California. We did the Pacific Coast Highway, also called the PCH for short. And this is one of the most scenic drives in the United States. It is ranked up there with the Blue Ridge Parkway and the Overseas Highway. And it's really something to be seen at least once in your lifetime, a trip to be had. So I'm going to talk about that. That's one of the most epic road trips, definitely a bucket list item for many people. And this trip we took about 5 years ago. We were not RVers yet. It was kind of in the radar, but we did not know nothing about RVing, so we did it with a rental car, which was, I called it the California Cruiser, because I ordered, you know, like a regular, I think we did it at one of the major car rentals, and they gave me a Mercury Grand Marquis, you know, which is like a Ford Crown Vic, you know, like the old police cruisers. And actually, I love that car. It was a little too big for some of the streets in San Francisco and even L.A., but boy, does it ride nice on the road. You know, it was like, I think it's one of the last great classic American chassis, you know, with the bench seat and the shifter in the steering column. But anyway, I digress. Let's talk about the trip. By the way, this happens to be my most popular video ever on YouTube. So it was also like that YouTube video that when I realized that maybe there's something to this. As I said, this is California Highway 1, the Pacific Coast Highway. And when we did this trip, we did it from south to north. Although now in hindsight, I think it might be better to do it from north to south, because you'll be on the outer lane of the highway, you know, the closest to the cliff, to the ocean. And since a good portion of the drive is really south to east, and even east after Santa Barbara, you will have the sun behind you in the afternoon. And as much as we like to leave in the morning, sometimes we do most of the trip in the afternoon. So okay, the way we did this trip, we flew to Los Angeles, California. Our Delta flight super delayed, was like 8 hours delayed. And I said, like, what if I had an RV and didn't have to rely on the airlines? And since we are flying to LA, let's talk a little about Los Angeles. A lot of people don't like it because of the traffic, or I don't know why. Some people even say that it's like Miami, just bigger. But I think there's something to it, you know, to this city, a certain glamour, especially about the parts that I'm going to talk about. And if you're a gamer, by the way, dust off that copy of GTA 5, Grand Theft Auto version 5, because we are going to visit many familiar places if you've played that game. By the way, that, for those of you who don't know that game, the map is almost like an exact replica of Los Angeles, at least of the main landmarks, and it even has a portion of the Pacific Coast Highway. While we were there, we stayed at a motel in Hollywood, and it was a pretty cheap motel, and the neighborhood didn't look all that great. But one of the first things we did, because we were in the neighborhood, was if something you should do if you're in decent shape, is a hike to the Hollywood sign, which is, as you know, practically a symbol of Los Angeles. And you would think that it is a lot more visible from the city, but it is not. You can actually only see it from a handful of places. One of the best ones being North Beachwood Drive, which is the street where we drove. And it is a bit of a windy road going north onto the Hollywood Hills. And it ends at the Sunset Ranch in Hollywood. In there we tried to find parking, and we found parking even for the California Cruiser, the big boat of a car we had. And from here we walk on the trail. We better do it early in the morning, especially if it is summer, because it's a little bit of ways up there. By the way, you get beautiful views of the Hollywood Hills, the Griffith Observatory. Eventually you see downtown in the distance. It is usually pretty hazy, though, because of, you know, the way Los Angeles is and the pollution stays in the valley. And you'll make it up there. I'd say it's about a mile, but it's going all the way up. So it's a little bit of a strain of a hike. it is actually forbidden to touch or climb onto the actual Hollywood sign, but there's an observation deck, an observation area right behind the sign up there, and you can see the letters from behind, and by the way, very, very nice, commanding views of the Hollywood Reservoir and the whole area, very cool. Actually, if you look back to the other side of the hill, you can see the San Fernando Valley back there too. If you don't feel like climbing all the way up to the sign, and just want to take a picture with the sign, you know, put it on Instagram, you can go to the Highland Center, which is right next to the Dolby Theater. And from there, you know, it's right on Hollywood Boulevard. From there, you get a very nice view of the sign, a little far away, but you can see it right there in front of you. While you're there, pass by the Capitol Records building. You know, it's an iconic round building that looks like a stack of records on top of each other. It's just a couple of blocks away on Vine Street. And all this is, by the way, the Walk of Fame. And right in front of the Capitol building, you have the stars of the Beatles. Very cool. If you walk west on Hollywood Boulevard, eventually to the right, you will encounter the iconic Grauman's Chinese Theater, which is very cool because it has signatures and the handprints on the concrete sidewalk. So many famous Hollywood stars, even R2-D2. From Star Wars is there. As I said, this is the Walk of Fame, Hollywood Boulevard, and there's a bunch of people in costume, you know, begging you for money so they can take a picture with you. The whole area, the whole experience is kind of annoying. There's also all these guys soliciting, you know, trying to get you to sign up for one of these tours of the homes of the rich and famous, but you could just drive, you know, grab a map, they sell them, or they even give them away. Just look for a map online and just drive by the house of the rich and famous if you want to do that. We actually passed by the Playboy Mansion when we were there. Another way to see the Hollywood sign, by the way, is from the Griffith Observatory, although from there you get a little more of a side view, but you are a lot closer. However, the view of the city at sunset from the Griffith Observatory, oh man, that's fantastic. Just stay there at sunset and you see all the lights come on and the downtown in the distance. Very nice. I actually like LA a lot. There's a lot more to see here in LA, although I should start talking about the Pacific Coast Highway at some point. Okay, well, a couple more points of interest. I just remembered the Music Center in downtown is pretty cool. There's the Disney Music Hall, which has a unique architecture, like the Guggenheim Museum in Spain, kind of similar. It's like made out of metal. And in downtown, you also have the Olvera Street, which supposedly is the oldest street in the city back to Mexican times, I guess. It is a little too touristy, but it does reflect the Mexican heritage of the city. There's a couple of very nice restaurants there. Las Colondrinas comes to mind. Okay, on to the PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway, as I am going to call it from now on. Maybe, maybe not. Actually, not quite yet. Go to Venice Beach and take a stroll along the boardwalk. There's Muscle Beach with the outdoor gym and the skate park with all the people doing skateboard stunts. It is an iconic place, a little bit of a culture shock, but you've seen it in the movies, very cool. A lot of dispensaries trying to push marijuana and all that good stuff. Anyways, we're actually going to start the PCH trip at another iconic beach, which is just a couple of miles down the road at the Santa Monica, at the Santa Monica Pier, the western terminus of Route 66. And that is another place that you should visit just for a couple of hours, just to see it. You know, they have the amusement park there and the sign that says terminus of Route 66. And it's quite picturesque, the views from the pier. From here, we're going to merge onto Highway 1, which in this area is actually kind of goes west because of the shape of the California coast. It is a very pretty drive with the hills to the right and the Pacific Ocean to the left. And pretty soon we're going to hit Malibu. You'll see all the cliffside mansions up there on the cliffs. And you can actually drive uphill, you know, up some of the hills and explore some of this area. There are some very pretty mansions up there. And the views of the Pacific Ocean from the top of the hill, very, very nice. Maybe don't do it if you are coming with your RV, because some of the hills are a little steep, but you can take your tow vehicle. The highway does go a little inland at Point Magu into the city of Oxnard, and it merges with the 101, which is the main highway, the main freeway, as they call them in California, that goes down to San Francisco. And then it rejoins the coast at Ventura, and the road turns a little more northward. And if you're lucky, there's a very good boondocking spot here by the water called Rincon Parkway Campground. But this is first come, first served, I believe, so it and is usually full. But if you are lucky enough, this is a great spot to park right next to the Pacific Ocean. Had we come with an RV when we did it, we probably would have attempted to spend the night here for sure. A little further west, you will find the Carpinteria Bluffs National Preserve. There are some hiking trails, great views. This whole area is beautiful, and the more we go, the more beautiful it becomes. Now we are getting close to the Santa Ynez Valley wine region. And if you like the movie Sideways, and especially if you are into wine like I am, this is a place that you have to make it a point to make a detour. First, we're going to make a quick stop at Summerland, which is a town right next to the ocean. There's a very nice winery called the Summerland Winery, and they have a tasting room and very, very nice folks, really. It's an area you're going to see some offshore oil rigs in the horizon, especially if you climb up the hill a little bit. Our next stop is, of course, the lovely Santa Barbara. It's called the California Riviera. And what a neat and beautiful town with the hills behind. Actually, when we went, we didn't really visit any of the Santa Barbara landmarks like the famous mission or any of the famous restaurants. We just did took a stroll along the beach, a little bit on the pier. The pier is very nice. There was this guy doing solar carving on the beach. I had never seen that. You know, it's like by burning wood with a magnifying lens. Very cool. The reason we didn't explore more is because we were on a mission to make it to Solvang. We had a reservation there at a hotel. Solvang is a town that was actually founded by a group of Danish. And nowadays it is very touristy, with a bunch of Danish bakeries and restaurants. And if you guessed it, you guessed it right. Tasting rooms. They feature some of the best wines of the Santa Ynez Valley. Every single place in this town closes at around 5, at least the tasting rooms, which I found a little bit of a shocker, but it is what it is. But anyways, we went to the neighboring town of Los Olivos. We had a reservation at this place called Los Olivos Cafe, which, by the way, was also featured in the aforementioned movie, Sideways. And if you haven't guessed, we are sort of kind of following the sideways trail at this point. We spent the night there in Solvang at a hotel called King Frederick. Pretty cool. And if you come in an RV, there is an RV resort in Bulton, which is the town, the next town, called Flying Flags, but it looks expensive, so I don't know. I wasn't there, so I'm not recommending for or against this park. From here, we made a beeline for San Luis Obispo. By the way, very RV unfriendly town in the sense that they don't let you park pretty much anywhere, much less overnight park anywhere. But anyways, we made a beeline for Morro Bay, which it has this very iconic round rock that is at the end of a peninsula. It's like a refuge for the peregrine falcon, which is an endangered species. But anyways, in downtown, there are some shops. And here I tried for the first time that famous soup that they have in California, which is the clam chowder, but they serve it in a sourdough bread bowl, very typical of this area. It was very good. And the town pretty much lives off the tourism industries and the fishing industries. The segment of the road north of here is, in my opinion, actually the best part of the whole road trip. It passes by Cambria, which we encountered there, a very good example of folk art called the Nitwit Ridge, which is a house that this guy made out of just, you know, junk, pretty much. Very interesting. It's a private property, so we didn't want to look inside or bother the owners asking anything, or the current residents. Anyway, the scenery becomes more and more beautiful as we continue northwest from here. At this point, we're going to encounter the famous Hertz Castle, built by the newspaper tycoon Randolph Hertz. But in order to see it, even from the outside, you have to take a tour. You know, you go to a parking lot and they take you in some kind of trolley or tram. And we didn't do that. We didn't really have the time or the desire to spend a couple of hours there. Although I've heard that the property is quite remarkable, so it's something that is recommended that you do if you take this route. But if you want to see it from far away, like we did, whip out your binoculars and look at it from the Pacific Coast Highway itself, from Highway 1, you cannot miss it. It's on top of a hill, and it looks beautiful up there. Actually, the highlight of this little area, a few miles further by Piedras Blancas, a town called Piedras Blancas, there's like a lighthouse, there is a most see spot, which is the Elephant Seal Beach. And they have, rangers explaining about the seals that, there's a dozens of seals hanging out down there, playing in the sand. And I do believe the guy said that they were adolescent male seals, getting ready for mating season. So they were like competing with each other. And very cool place just to stop, stretch your legs, listen to what the ranger is saying, the park ranger, and just spend 10, 15, 20 minutes, however long you want to stay there at the parking lot. After this, we come across this famous area called Big Sur. I'm sure you've heard about it, where the Santa Lucia Mountains drop into the Pacific Ocean. This is the best part of the trip right here. You're going to drive on the switchbacks between the mountains and the cliffs next to the ocean. And there are a couple of very iconic bridges in this area, most notably a Big Creek Bridge. Actually, Bixby Creek Bridge is the one most iconic with the arch, the one that also shows up in the game that I mentioned before, GTA 5. Also in this area, you're going to find the Macquarie Rocks, and most importantly, the Macquarie Falls, which is a waterfall that drops straight into the ocean. There's the Julia Pfeiffer State Park, where you can park there and take the trail down to the Macquarie Falls. After all this awe-inspiring, beautiful drive, we arrive by Monterey. And Carmel by the Sea, also very, very cool little town. So much to see here. But in Monterey, we opted to visit the famous aquarium, which, in case you don't know, I'm a little bit of a Trekkie, and the aquarium doubled as the fictitious Sausalito Cetacean Institute in the movie Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Here we also have the famous street called Canary Road, popularized by novelist John Steinbeck, the same guy who wrote Travels with Charlie. After here, we're actually getting very close to San Francisco. But before we make it, one last stop at Half Moon Bay. And we ate the lobster roll at Sam's Chowder House, which is fantastic. And it's actually pretty famous. From here, the next stop is San Francisco. And there's a lot to do in the city. But you might ask, as many others have commented on the YouTube video, what happened to Santa Cruz? Well, we totally bypassed it. We forgot about it. Maybe time ran out. I don't even remember. But I think we just were too eager to make it to San Francisco. And San Francisco, where do we begin? But before we go to San Francisco, I want to remind you that this show is being syndicated on the Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. If you like fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 days a year on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, you can download the free Reno Viola Outdoors Radio app or visit wrvoradio.com. Well, I could really spend a whole hour talking about San Francisco, but today we just don't have the time. If I go any longer than 26 minutes on the podcast, I could upset the folks, the nice folks at WRVO Radio. So we're going to keep it at 26 minutes for now. If you guys feel like this podcast should be longer, please send me an email, robert@travelingrobert.com. I always appreciate your feedback. And lately, to be honest about it, I haven't received all that much feedback. Also, remember, if you like what we're doing here, please go to iTunes and give us a review. Write us a review, good or bad. It helps other people find the podcast. As always, you can also find me on all the social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. My name there is Traveling Robert, all one word. And visit the blog at travelingrobert.com. Also, if you'd like to watch all my videos, go to youtube.com/travelingrobert, and over there you can see all my road trips, including this California road trip, which coincidentally happens to be my most popular video ever, by far. The song of the week is called California Road Trip, because I wrote it for that particular video, and it's what you are listening in the background already. Until next week, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road.